But the true God is the living God. And the true God has His will and His commandments and His judgments. But He also has His salvation. From among that godless and awful nation of the Moabites came Ruth the Moabitess. God is able to deliver. God is able to save. And He offers that salvation and He offers that deliverance. The only reason Lot did not experience full deliverance is because he did not accept it. And I believe it's a human tragedy. So, in chapter 20, after all the promises, after all the testimonies, and the expectation of God's fulfillment of the promise, once again, Abraham is falling back into the old ways, and he says, Sarah is my sister. Indirectly, he is saying she is not my wife. But he didn't say that. Just as Sarah did not laugh when the Lord said, yes, you did laugh. She did not laugh loud, and Abraham did not say loudly, she is not my wife. But the intention was that. Trusting in a human device instead of trusting in the power and protection of the Lord. Once again, the Lord is witnessing to Abraham and to the people around him that God is God. And Abraham and Sarah once again are delivered by the power of the Lord. After the Lord appeared to Abimelech, Abimelech could not sleep very well that night. And early in the morning he called all of his people, all of his household, and he told them, this is what happened. This is what the Lord told me. We are all dead men. This woman must be returned back to her husband, and no one may touch him. So Abraham and Sarah were protected. In the chapter 21, in the beginning, finally, after so long, and yet exactly at the appointed time, Sarah is going to have the son of the promise. In verse 3, the name of the child will be Isaac. That's what the Lord said. His name will be Isaac. Because when the Lord talked to Abraham, Abraham laughed. When Sarah heard the news, she laughed. Was their laughter the laughter of unbelief or the laughter of questioning the Lord's will? But the Lord turned it into the laughter of joy and gladness because they did get the son of the promise. In the verse number 4, the first circumcision. Oh, well, we remember Abraham was circumcised already. All of his people were circumcised. All the males in his household, I don't know how many there were, I guess close to 1,000. They all were circumcised when Abraham entered with whole heart and mind and will into the covenant of the Lord. They all were circumcised. But in the verse number 4 of chapter 21 is the first circumcision according to the instruction of the Lord when the child was 8 days old. I'm not going to dwell much more on this point, but I think this is something to consider, something to study, something to understand in depth. Abraham was 100 years old. Now, in the verses 6 to 8, we see that it was a dual activity. Both Abraham and Sarah are very much involved in caring for Isaac. Both are sharing the joy and rejoicing in the progress, in the development, the growth of the child. And Abraham, when the child was weaned, Abraham made a feast for all. The whole household, all the people had a great feast because the child of the promise will start eating the regular food and be growing and growing up. Verse number 9. When the promises of the Lord are fulfilled, our former deeds might get in the way. Sarah saw Ishmael mocking, teasing, despising the child of the promise. Some important adjustments needed to be taken care of. Mother was the first one to notice. She's more with the child than the father. And yet, in the verse number 11, we see that the father is the one that will help to perform those adjustments. Again, both of them must be together involved in the safety and protection of their child. You see what godly parenting is? It was a grief to Abraham to cast out Hagar because of Abraham's son. It was not the son of the promise. It was the son of the flesh. But that's the flesh in which Abraham is living. And when it hurts, it really hurts. And God said to Abraham, "Let it not be grievous in thy sight." These words are so special. Why are some things so grievous to us? Because it's in our sight, not in God's sight. If we could but look and have a wider horizon, if we could see that the Lord is doing the things the way He will, and He will perform it, our grief would be, if not completely eliminated, would be much smaller, much easier to maintain. Let it not be grievous in thy sight, because, why? Because it was grievous. The Lord would not say, let it not be, if it was not. When we change the sight, when we change the focus, and we focus on the more important things, then it's less grievous. It's easier to follow the Lord. In serious grief, we can hear God speaking clearly. It was necessary for Abraham to experience that grief and not to repeat the mistakes of the past at this time and in the future. In great grief, we should listen to God's voice, to hear His word. How could we accomplish more important if the things of lesser value are equal in our sight? Our love grows through sacrifices. And the Lord is giving some comfort, some encouragement to Abraham in the verse number 13. "I will take care of Ishmael," the Lord says. "I will give him earthly blessings because he is thy seed." God takes care of all the things, especially the earthly things that we worry so much about. He will take care of those things. What we should worry about, what we should strive for, just to obey Him and choose to do His will always. We should always choose His will. the verse 22 of the chapter 21. As God's promise is being fulfilled in Abraham's life, Abraham's testimony becomes more recognizable, more noticed by the Gentiles. King Abimelech and the captain, the general of his army, the captain of the host, came to make an agreement, a covenant of friendship. You see what is in the world? If they see someone growing, someone becoming stronger, someone becoming mightier, they want to be friends. Before that, if he seemed not to be too strong for them, they will abuse him. They will take over his wealth. They will chase him away from them. But when they see that God is with Abraham, they want to be friends. Our Lord and Savior wants to be friend of the friendless. You see, he didn't try to befriend Herod, nor Annas and Caiaphas, neither Pilate. And when Nicodemus, a rich and wealthy and educated man, come to the Lord did not try to make friends, but to save him. The Lord gave him the truth. Eventually, it did work in Nicodemus' life. So, in the verse 25 of this chapter 21, Abraham reproved Abimelech for the well violently taken from him. You want to be friends? Let me help you face some things that you are doing. So we see the godly people are not always just quiet, just intimidated, just going along with the others. Oh no. We can speak up and speak out. But we should pray for wisdom to know when and how to do it. And then Abraham gave gift to Abimelech for a testimony that Abraham has digged the well. That this well is the property and should be the possession of Abraham and his household. So the Abimelech and his captain of the hosts departed, and Abraham continued his life, and the child is growing, and apparently the child became a young man, a healthy, a strong young man, a very loving and lovable young person. And I think it's only reasonable and very natural to believe that Abraham and Sarah looked at this young man as the purpose of their living, as the joy of all of their intentions and strivings. Well, in chapter 22, I think if this was a book designed and written by some man intended for becoming a bestseller, the end of the story would be before the chapter 22. They lived happily forever after, but not. In chapter 22, the Lord is asking the sacrifice. Abraham is to sacrifice first the son of the flesh way back in chapter 21 verse 14. Ishmael has to go. In order to secure proper and right upbringing and unobstructed growth of the son of God's promise. Now here in chapter 22, the son of the promise, the child of the covenant, the whole ministry of Abraham and Sarah is offered to the Lord. That's the living sacrifice, the true offering to the Lord. If it were not holy to the Lord and to the Lord alone, the ministry is marred, the promises neglected or rejected, the covenant would be broken. Abraham's sacrifice contains an enormous volume of teaching and revelation. God is calling, Abraham answered, and we are to answer when God calls us. God's command is clear, Abraham's response without delay. Father Abraham prepared all. He used time, he rose up early. He prepared the transport, an animal, and power. He prepared two men to help them. He took his only Isaac, his only joy. He had another son, but that was not his son, it was Hagar's son. And he clave the wood. Abraham is doing everything. Father is doing everything. He took fire. He prepared oil for the sacrifice by obeying the word of God. He prepared this sacrifice, Isaac, for offering himself. Isaac to offer himself by not knowing the future until the time appointed. Can we do that? Can we offer ourselves to the Lord by trusting the Lord for the things that we don't know? It might happen very soon, it might happen long time after. At the Lord's appointed time, everything will be fulfilled. His promises never failed. Can we wait on Him? That's sacrifice. That's an offering pleasing to God. In verse number 4 of chapter 22, Father Abraham saw the place from afar. Oh, our Heavenly Father, see the things from afar. Before the beginning, He knows the end. Verse number 5, we see a testimony, a prophecy, a commitment. Abraham said to the servants, we, Abraham and Isaac, we will worship God and we will return to you. He is going to offer Isaac. Abraham is going to offer Isaac. Isaac is going to offer himself to be a burnt sacrifice. And here Abraham says, we will worship God and we will return to you. It was not a lie. It was not a story. It was a promise, trusting in God who said, in Isaac thy seed shall be, and in thy seed all the families of the earth will be blessed. So father and the son walk together. Son bears the wood, the load of wood. The father takes the knife and the fire. The load is heavy. The grief is agonizing. But they walk together, the father and the son. And then in the verse number 7, a heart-rending question, piercing question, where is the lamb? The loving care and concern for one another are parts of the sacrifice. Offering must be in the heart before it can be offered from the heart. The son asked the question in a concern, both logical and innocent. The father answered with reliance on God and God's provision. In the verse number 6, the verse number 6 ends with these words, and they went both of them together. Verse number 9 says, and they came to the place which God had told him of. Do you know why? Sometimes we do not arrive to the place that God told us about. We were not going in the right direction. That's the only possible conclusion. But they walked in the right direction and they came to the place that God told them of. In verses 7 and 8, these verses tell us how they walked together and they came to the place. These verses also remind us of many other religions that are man-made and of the whole humanity. There are many knives and many fires, many teachings and much suffering in this world around us. Only in the Holy Scripture, here is the Lamb that God provided for our redemption. Only in Christ, in obeying God's will, our affliction and suffering has true meaning, a real purpose, and worthy goal. Abraham built an altar there. He laid the wood in order and revealed the commandment of God to Isaac. How often we would like to sacrifice, but we don't like to put the things in order. Somehow we find it easier or less difficult to do it in our own way. No, it has to be done in order. Isaac willingly submitted to the will of God. This was the sacrifice, the offering. Not only Abraham sacrificing Isaac, but also Isaac sacrificing himself. In Epistle to the Romans, in chapter 12 from the beginning, we read this admonishment. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Here in chapter 22 of Genesis, verse 10, the father Abraham and the son Isaac offer one sacrifice together. The father does not understand why God demands this sacrifice, but he trusted in God's goodness, wisdom, truthfulness, and power. The son does not know why this sacrifice is needed, but he knows that his father is struggling against his own grief and agonizing. They both believe this suffering is but for a time. It was necessary to bind Isaac, and Abraham did that. The sacrifice was done in labor, in time, in effort, every sacrifice. It was done in their heart and mind, and now God revealed to them that is what His will has been. That His sacrifice, an offering to the Lord, be done in the heart and mind of His people. That's all He wants. The rest He will do. Because what is in the heart and mind, He has done Himself. God asked for a burnt offering. The offering burned in their heart and mind. God commanded them to be willing to shed their blood. But now the angel told them, God is pleased to shed His own blood at the time appointed. The whole sacrifice was done carefully, step by step, and so they were able to hear the voice of the angel and not to step ahead of God's careful guidance. In the verse number 12, God proclaimed, the offering is completed to the degree they needed to have it. And now God revealed to them what God had known since the beginning. God made them willing first, and He made them faithful now. The experience so hard on them was in reality God's schooling and molding them for His purpose and His exceeding great reward. He did all of that for their own good and for His name's honor and glory. Verse 13, there was a ram in the thicket. The ram was caught by his own power, by his own horns. The Lord did provide an offering for the sacrifice for that moment and for eternity. For that moment, a substitute. For eternity, the real offering, the only sacrifice. They did not protest. Why God made us suffer so much, since He did not want our blood after all? They realized God has provided all for all. So that place in their faith they named Jehovah Jireh, the Lord Provider. Verse 15 and 16, the sacrifice is over, but the river of blessing flows on and on. Verse 17, God is blessing self-denial. God is blessing self-sacrifice. The blessing is upon obedience. The blessing is upon endurance and faithfulness. In verse number 18, God promised the real sacrifice, the blessing offered to all nations. Verse 23, a news from afar. A girl was born and is growing in the household of Abraham's relatives. By the preceding things, the Lord has prepared Abraham and Isaac for the things that follow. The following is in the chapter 23 at chapter 24. Mother Sarah will depart, and wife Rebekah is brought into Isaac's life and heart. In chapter 23, the mighty prophet of the Almighty God is pleading for a burial place as a stranger in the land God gave him and his seed for inheritance. God's promises were so great, beyond imagination, but at this time, Abraham does not have a foot of land in the promised land. So, we read that he went and he talked to the people of the land.
Spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub.